Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas, and pastor teacher at Shalom Shalom Congregation. Well, folks, as you know, I returned to Israel 5 days ago, and I'm already homesick. What can I say? But nevertheless, we have some great reports to give you on our completed 60th gospel outreach to Israel. We've been doing this now by the Lord's faithfulness, His empowerment, and His grace for 25 years, and we're not going to slow down. And we want to get into part one of our presentation, which will cover ministry that we did in Tel Aviv all the way up to the Galilee and Tiberias. And the next week, we will cover part two, which will we'll look at our ministry in Jerusalem and then Haifa. And let me just say, I want to thank again all of the supporters of To the Jew First Fund at Zola Levitt Ministries, to Mark Levitt for being the custodian and gatekeeper of these funds, and for believing in this ministry that his dad started when he saw that when I was going to Israel back in 2000, the reception we were getting, almost universal reception among the Israelis concerning Yeshua, his Habesarah, that's Hebrew for gospel, and receiving complete Bible so that they can search the scriptures for themselves and see that Yeshua is front and center. And we've been doing this now for 25 years, and it really goes back to the night I got saved when the Lord Jesus told me, go and tell my people I'm coming soon. That was in 1984, April. And then 2000, when we started witnessing, a light went on, and the Lord impressed upon me, that's what I meant when I told you, go and tell my people are coming soon. I had assumed it was just the church, but no, it's actually his ethnic brothers and sisters. And like Paul, I say, and my faults notwithstanding, I have not been disobedient to the vision. And so we're going to get into this. I'd like to also, if you want to learn more about our outreaches and good sound Bible teaching, check out our ministry newsletter called Search the Scriptures. This is our summer 2026 edition. And in this edition, we actually talk about, we give you selected accounts on our 59th gospel outreach that we completed in December. And so look for reports coming out of this recent outreach we completed in July of 2026 in our fall edition of Search the Scriptures. I also want to thank our supporters have given. Praise God. When I left, usually donations go down, but they were a constant this time, doing a large part to the people in here. They were giving while I was gone, and I really do appreciate that, because your giving not only lets us go to Israel, but lets us do the full orb ministry on a full-time basis. Things are so critical now, folks. I don't need to tell you, in this country, the world, and in Israel, the epicenter of God's end-time activity, that we really need to be doing this full-time. And I will say to you, there will be no patting on the back or humble brags here, either for me or Dr. August Rosato. What we're doing is scratching the surface. It's really, I wish we could do much, much more. You only have 2 weeks each time you go over there. It's not cheap to go over there. But we start from day one. We take no breaks. We don't rest on the Sabbath. We go and go until all of our Bibles are handed out. And even after that, you'll see that on our last day, we witnessed to a family on Shabbat in the evening at our hotel in Haifa. That was what a great send-off back here to have this family invite us to their gathering. And we boldly told them that Yeshua needs to be brought back to his people. And they agreed, nodding. So that'll be for part two. But let me just thank you for your support. Does it mean that once you support us for one trip, oh, I'm done? No, please continue to support us. We need perennial support year round. And you can do that by clicking on the donate link, and it'll take you to our safe, secure, encrypted donate page where you can make a tax-deductible donation. Also, we have a YouTube page, not many subscribers, but whatever, it's not about that, really. Berit-Chadashah Ministries on our YouTube. That's our YouTube channel. You can subscribe and give us a like. And also our website, ministry, toddbaker.org, used to be Berit-Chadashah org, but we made it my name to make it simpler to access. And check out our teachings on there. I've written several books you can order and so forth. And before we get started, folks, this will be part one, as I said. I'm happy to report that we will be going back for the 61st Gospel Outreach, November 7th through the 22nd. Everything has been done, paid for, and so forth. So we are going back, and that's great. We just submitted that this week. Mark Levitt gave the approval. I have to give a travel proposal to that group that funds us. And then, of course, you guys come in on the other end to help not only fund these outreaches, but help us do this full time. So please continue to give. And you're going to see how your money works. You know, Jesus said, make friends to yourself on righteous mammon that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. That's in the Gospel of Luke. That's one of those cryptic sayings. If you go to books on hard sayings of the Bible, you'll find that one in there. Like, what does that mean? Well, what Jesus was saying, use the currency of the world to do the kingdom work, so that as that ministry is funded by worldly currency, people are getting saved and they are going to heaven into everlasting habitations. Amen. And this is what you're doing. You are funding this so that Jewish people and Arab people can hear the gospel. Now, on this trip, I can say that most of the people we talked to were Jewish people, very few Arabs. That wasn't by design. We follow the Spirit's leading, but most of the people we talked to on this trip was primarily Jewish people. Maybe two or three Arabs, and the rest were all Jewish people. So let's get into this. You see August and I pictured here at Logan Airport, getting ready to embark on the 60th Gospel Outreach, and we're getting stealing our minds for this, because it is a spiritual marathon, and the older you get, the harder it is to do these, because now you got to factor in, various things, physical things, and whereas when you were young, the transition wasn't as hard, but when you get older, you can feel it. So let's go ahead and get into this. So day one of the 60th Gospel Outreach to Israel, August and I safely arrived in Israel in the mid-afternoon, around 1:45 p.m. And so we'll get that picture up here. Unfortunately, when we came out of the airport, right away we had internet GPS guidance system problems. They weren't working. We weren't in a panic, but we were getting close, because no GPS, we can't go to Sar El Tours. We don't know it by memory. That's they're near Jerusalem. They provide our Bibles, and that's not an easy place to get to. You got to go through a lot of road, take different roads, different exits, etc. So having the service, as you know, is critical over in Israel, because without it, we can't navigate the places we needed to go and to pick up the Hebrew Bibles from Sar El Tours. So I said, let's pull over to the side here. And we prayed, and lo and behold, 5 minutes later, we had GPS service and our prayers were answered, and we just made it in time to pick up the Bibles. Now, going back, we're going to save some of those GPS maps. So if that happens, we'll already have them on there. But we used to do that before we bought international phone service. We used to save them, but that was a very precarious situation. But we prayed, and the Lord answered, and we got there just enough time to pick up the Bibles. And when we did go there, all the people that were supposed to be there, we knew one person would be out of the country, but the other people that were supposed to help us weren't there. So a gentleman by the name of Gil took it upon himself to make sure we had those Bibles. I mean, he was running around in a good way, like a chicken with its head cut off. He says, we got to get you these Bibles. He's calling people, where are they? You know? And so he went down to their storage area, and they just had enough and no more. They had 34 Bibles. I request 30 to 35. So everything is precarious, but the Lord showed up. Not late, not too soon, but right on time. Finally, a ministry door opened later in the day with a gentleman who works at the Dan Panorama in Tel Aviv, Michael, an employee working there. He listened intently as we made what's in Hebrew the lesser to greater argument that what Ezekiel the prophet and the other prophets of the Tanakh foretold about the current day regathering of Israel to the land is a guarantee Yeshua the Messiah is soon to return to Israel and save the Jewish people who believe in him and establish his kingdom from Jerusalem over the entire earth. Ezekiel 36, 16 through 38. And we also told him, we believe that God, in keeping his promise to your fathers and the covenants he made with them, bringing you back, Akarit Hayamim, at the end of days, is so that not only when the Messiah, as he's prophesied, to return to a Jewish nation before then, so that you can hear the gospel from us. We directly told Michael that the Messiah offers him the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a place in his kingdom. If you will trust in him, Michael unreservedly accepted this invitation by accepting a complete Hebrew Bible from us, accompanied with Messianic gospel tracts, laying out the airtight case that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah of Israel, as prophesied and promised by God in the Holy Scriptures. Now that he has the Scriptures in his hand, now that he has heard Habesirah, because people believe in this ministry and support us, now that he has that, he can look into the pages of Holy Writ for himself to see what we told him is true. And he can do so in obedience to the Lord in Isaiah 34:16, where it is written, "Seek ye the book of the Lord and read." Later in the evening, August and I had a good gospel witness with a young Israeli chef by the name Arsalov. Excuse the glare from the cooking lamp or the heating lamp there. But anyway, after August and I shared the gospel and gave him a complete Hebrew Bible, Arsalov took the Bible and he said, "This is a gift? Thank you." And we said, "It sure is, because salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach is the unmerited gift of a gracious God to undeserving sinners. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. So day two, our first full day on the 60th gospel outreach to Israel. It was a bright and clear morning in Emmanuel's land of Isaiah 8:8. August Rosado and I were headed to Tiberias and the Galilee region where the Lord Jesus spent most of his three-year ministry. And before we left the hotel, we had a chance at breakfast to talk to this young lady who was taking a survey of the customers, the people staying at the hotel. And this allowed us to tell her why we come to Israel. She learned that we come frequently. She asked us why. So it's like shooting barrel and fish. It's like having softballs lobbed at you to hit out of the park. We come because we are Bible teachers, and we teach a variety of things relevant to the Jewish people today and going forward. And she, "Well, what would that be?" Well, that would be the central person of biblical revelation from your Bible, the Messiah, who fulfilled Messianic prophecy, points to being Yeshua. She said, and we got this reply several times, "Well, I'm not religious." And we said, "Well, you don't have to be religious. This is not about religion. This is about redemption." And she mentioned the Hebrew word for redemption. I think it's geula. And we said, "Yeah, Ken, yes, that is it. And he has come, and he is coming again." And so she too, through some persuasion from us, accepted the scriptures and the Messianic reading literature to help her, guide her in those scriptures where to find Yeshua, both in the Tanakh and the Berit Hadashah. Amen. So the next day, we go to the parking lot of the hotel, ready to leave for Galilee and Tiberias. And this lady came up to us by the name of Naomi, and she's chiding us for the way I parked the car. And I'm like, my flesh is getting flustered. And the Holy Spirit said, "Use this as a witnessing opportunity." So once I resolved to do that, any tension, any hostility, because she was, you know, very forward about us parking the way we did. And it was replaced with the love of God for her soul. Amen. And so her name was Naomi. She was the parking supervisor at the hotel. We shared and we talked with her, and she was very curious. She ended up being very curious and open to our succinct but specific gospel witness correlating the first coming prophecies of the Tanakh and their exclusive fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth. Naomi was happy to hear what he did in providing redemption to those who receive him by faith, Romans 10:17. To further this witness, Naomi gladly received from us a complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic gospel tract. So we saw right then, as we shared with her, and the Holy Spirit reached out to her, the Lord made her amenable to us, and then we ended up apologizing for parking in the boneheaded way we did, and she said, no, don't worry about it, you're good. So talk about a situation that could have gotten really bad in the flesh, but we weren't going to give in to that. We have to use every opportunity to get the gospel to the Jewish people, every opportunity, because time is so short now in these last days and there with only 12 days to work with. Amen. So, the Lord also, let's go on. So we went to the, we went to another location, and the Lord opened the heart and mind of Yardena to the gospel of Yeshua. August and I were able to explain to her that the first Christians were all Jews, and the Christian faith was started and perpetuated by all Jews at first. So from these facts, we demonstrated that one can still be a Jew, imagine that, while believing Yeshua is the Messiah at the same time. The two are not irreconcilable, as the rabbis falsely teach. Yes, we did say that to her. But for a Jew, we said, to trust in Yeshua is the completion of being Jewish, Acts 26, 22, and 23. Yardena also received a copy of the scriptures in Hebrew from us to further study these truths for herself, to come to faith in the crucified and risen Messiah for salvation. And so that was good. Then at the Ir Yamim Mall in Netanya, August and I, August and I had an effective witness with an observant Jewish lady by the name of Donna, and that's her there. In our witness, we utilized the fulfilled proof of Messianic prophecy by Yeshua of Nazareth to argue he is the one and only true Messiah of the Jewish people. We lovingly exhorted Dana to study both testaments of the scripture to confirm this, which is able to make one wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. So that was good. This is Donna. And I think the other lady was Yardena. I think that we got them. This is not Yardena. This is Donna. But the lady with the red hair earlier, that was Yardena. But anyway, you get the picture. No pun intended. So after we witnessed to Donna in the Ir Yamim Mall, that means City of Days, by the way. It's a mall that looks like a huge hangar deck. And after we witnessed to her, and this is in Nazareth, we'll get to that in a minute. After that great witness for the Lord, one argumentative lady at the Sabon shop, this Karen, got rude and contentious with our gospel ministry. We walked in there, we were talking to one of her coworkers. She was not in there yet, and this young lady appeared to be open and ready to receive, and then in walks the Karen, and she challenged us, saying, "What are you doing here?" And we told her, "We've come to bring back the Jewish Messiah to the Jewish people." And she goes, "Well, I don't believe in the Brit Hadashah." And so we asked her, "Well, why don't you believe in it? It's a Jewish book written by all Jews. That's a fulfillment of the Messianic prophecies made in the Tanakh." She goes, "Well, I don't know why I don't believe in it." And I said, "Well, don't you think you better look at the evidence before you base your argument on ignorance?" And August and I challenged her, not in a mean-spirited way, but in a loving, carefrontational way, carefronting. So I turned around to look at something, and I thought I heard her on the phone saying security, something to that effect. And we found out she called security on us. But before that, we did answer her ignorant objections, gently but firmly, putting her to silence, as 1 Peter 2:15 exhorts us to. I overheard her say to her coworker to call security, and she had her phone in her hand. We calmly walked out of the store into the General Mall area. Minutes later, August and I noticed a security guard tailing us for the remainder of the time we were there. So every time we'd look over at him, and he was like maybe 40 yards away, I don't know. But he was following us, but not trying to look obvious. Every time we'd look over there, he'd look the other way. And so they were following us in there. And no, we didn't leave right away. We didn't leave in fear and hurry. We're doing nothing wrong. We have every right to do what we're doing, to assert our rights before the Lord, to bring his gospel back to his people. And she wasn't going to intimidate us. And she was one of three people that tried to challenge us over there. We were challenged in Jerusalem when we were teaching about the Mount of Olives. I'll get in that in part two. But yes, Jesus, the Jew, is still a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense in Israel to those offended and disobedient to the gospel, 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. Fortunately, after doing this ministry in Israel for 25 years, I have found there are far more Israelis who want to know more about the greatest Jew and individual in all history, who came first to Israel and is soon coming back to Israel to rule and reign over the whole world. Acts 1:11. Amen. So then we went on to Nazareth, and we met this Muslim lady at the Greg Cafe. This is a mall that we go to, and sometimes we minister in the Greg Cafe, and sometimes we've ministered in that mall. It's a small indoor mall. She turned out to be a Muslim lady, very open, though, to the gospel. And of course, we mentioned Yeshua. We did emphasize he's God in the flesh, and we emphasize he's God's unique son. And you know why we're doing that? Because the central antichrist tenets of Islam is to deny the deity of Christ and deny he is God's son in a unique fashion. This, she told us, I'm so glad this is my last day here. I'm going to Romania to go to medical school. And we boldly told her, well, Hashem knew this and set up this divine appointment so that we could come from all the way from the other side of the world so you could know about Yeshua's love for you. And she was overwhelmed that we showered her with God's grace and his love, and she accepted the scriptures with an Arabic gospel tract. So she left Israel and left her job on the last day hearing the gospel. Amen, folks. That's how much God loves these people, that he will send people from across the world so that they will know the reality of John 3:16. Okay, day three of the gospel outreach. Today, on that day, was a prolific day of sharing the gospel with the Lord's ethnic people in the Galilee and the Golan Heights, both breathtaking areas in the Holy Land. August Rosado and I had an exciting exchange with Oleg and Sadim. We discussed with both men why the Galilee they live and work in is the most significant and famous piece of real estate on planet Earth. And they're like, really? We said, because 70 to 80% of Jesus' public ministry as Messiah of Israel was spent in the Galilee. They became exuberant when we wanted to give them complete Hebrew Bibles, including the New Testament. When they saw the Bible, looked on the spine to see Torah, Ketuvim, Navim, and Berit Chadashah, all in Hebrew, that means the law, the writings, the prophets, and the New Testament. When they saw that in Hebrew on there, they both exclaimed, Yeshua. Now, these are Jewish men, folks. They exclaimed, Yeshua, when seeing the Bibles we offered them, as if to indicate we made an important connection here. Both Israelis joyously accepted the scriptures from us with a thrill to look for, learning about the Messianic man from Galilee in the pages of God's inerrant word. Once again, like we do on every gospel outreach to Israel, August and I made the beautiful circuitous drive to Har Hermon, Mount Hermon, the site where the Mount of Transfiguration took place. And you know that place. That's where Jesus met and conferred with Moshe, Moses, and Eliyahu, Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, Matthew 17, 1 through 9. As always, we go there to visit and minister to the IDF soldiers stationed there. August and I met a soldier by the name of Foudy. We humbly informed him that here on Mount Hermon, some 2,000 years ago, Moish and Eliyahu, Moses and Elijah, met with Yeshua the Messiah. And by the way, when we go up there, we take them cold water, a candy bar, and potato chips with the Bible inside. We went on to tell Foudy, this resplendent event proves to Israel and the world that both Moses, as represented by the Torah, and Elijah, as represented by the prophets, point to and affirm Jesus is the Messiah of Israel and the central person of biblical revelation that all must heed and believe. Amazingly, Foudy agreed, understood, and confirmed this by also joyfully accepting a complete Hebrew Bible to see how this exact thing progressively unfolds from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Foudy embraced what we said to him and accepted both testaments from us as the very word of God and not man about Jesus the Messiah, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. After leaving there, August and I visited Tel Shaphan in the gorgeous Golan Heights and had bold gospel women there with two Israeli women. Sheena, pictured there, her name in Hebrew means song, and Yasmin. Shira said, this is before she knew we were even Bible teachers, before she knew we were Magadim, that means preachers in Hebrew. This was before she knew we were Shalachim, sent ones of the Messiah. She told me at the bar there, it's a restaurant and a bar we went into, and she said, we told her we love coming to the land of the Bible, and we love coming to Israel and seeing the Bible come alive. And she said, that's interesting because as a young girl, I always loved reading the Bible. Little did she know that we were Bible teachers. Little did she know that we are adept in opening the scriptures to the Jew and Gentile about the Messiah of Israel. This was providence at work because right after she told us that she liked reading the Bible when she was a young girl, we told her after learning that we frequently come to Israel's Bible teachers to proclaim that all the law and the prophets unanimously point to Yeshua the Messiah, foretold in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. Both ladies excitedly listened and received without hesitation complete Hebrew Bibles and Messianic gospel tracts from August and I to read this on their own so that they will believe on Ha'adon Yeshua Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. Acts 16:31, Romans 10:9-10. So that was powerful, folks, and that was such a beautiful area. We sat, there was a sunroom in there, and we just, after we had this ministry, you know, you're on cloud nine. I mean, this is the Super Bowl of ministry, and that's not being braggadocious. That's a fact. This is the creme de la creme of all ministry, and we just soaked it all in, and you know, after going over there for 63 times, every time I go over there, it's surreal in a positive way, and I have to pinch myself. So praise the Lord for that. As you see these people, as you learn their names, be praying for them. And this ministry sows the gospel seed. We're not responsible for how they respond. We're responsible for proclaiming the gospel to them, to the Jew first, Romans 1:16, and getting the word of God in their hands. Amen. It is Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit who regenerates and saves. We are called to be witnesses. Amen. So day four of the gospel outreach to Israel. Unfortunately, this was our last day of gospel ministry in Tiberias and Galilee, though it went gloriously well. At the major shopping mall in Tiberias, August Rosado and I met a very open Israeli woman. This is the, go forward. Okay. Yeah, this is the area we went to Tel Shion. Beautiful area in the Golan Heights, and that's one of the vineyards they have. They have fruit, they have vineyards, they have apple orchards, and so forth. And it was quite beautiful there. When you if you ever go to Israel, the prettiest locations probably are the Galilee and the Golan Heights. Although I like the desert too, in the Negev, it has a haunting beauty to it as well. So that's Tel Shafan. Actually, I misspoke earlier. That's Tel Shafan, the area Tel Shafan in the Golanites, upper Israel. Okay, so we on our last day, day four. I just remembered. We also did a teaching after the day's evangelism. We went to Katsurin. Katsurin is an ancient Talmudic village where many of the rabbis and their students congregated there from the 4th to the 6th century AD. And some believe that the rabbis here contributed to the Jerusalem Talmud, which is, there's two Talmuds. There's a Jerusalem Talmud, there's a Babylonian Talmud. The Talmud is rabbinic commentary on the Mishnah. And unfortunately, in Jesus' day, it was called the tradition of the elders. And they elevated those oral traditions during the time of Jesus equal to Scripture. And you know that Jesus rebuked them several times for doing that. Later, that oral tradition became codified and written down in the Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud. Katsurin was a major learning center for the Talmud. So we did a teaching here, the Word of God or tradition. And we show you that the Word of God always takes precedent over the traditions of men, whether it's in the synagogue or in the church. And sadly, large swaths of churches have placed their tradition on an equal level with Scripture. And when you do that, it's only a matter of time before the traditions of men displace the authority of God's Word. So we did a teaching there. You can go to those on August Rosado's YouTube page. So this was a picture I took early in the morning around 7:30. I couldn't sleep anymore, so I got up and took a picture of the sunburst going through the clouds overlooking Lake Kinneret, or what the gospel accounts call the Sea of Galilee. It's not a sea, it's a lake. It's just absolutely gorgeous. This was a pinch myself moment, just absolutely gorgeous. And I was playing some John Michael Talbot music, and it fit perfectly with the scenery I was looking out at. Absolutely gorgeous. This was on our last full day of ministry in Tiberias. So let's get to that. There's a mall called the Big One in Tiberias. Now, historically, we've had some issues in here. We had one guy several years ago get hostile, openly hostile with us, telling other Jewish people at a yogurt bar not to listen to us. We were proclaiming another God. And of course, I corrected him. I said, no, we're proclaiming the God of the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. And then I explained to him that Echad there is one. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I said, you do know that that word is Echad, which can mean a composite unity. It's not a single unity. And that allows for more than one person in the Godhead of the God of the Bible. And so he was very belligerent, and we haven't seen him in a while. He was working in called a gentleman's shop there where they sell male-oriented knickknacks like watches, globes, pipes and all that stuff, smoking pipes, etc. And there have been times when trying to witness in there, it was adamantine. The people's hearts were adamantine, very hard. But the last three times, folks, it's been very, very good from the moment we walk in there. And praise God, this time was like that. So August Rosado and I met a very open Israeli woman, Agus. Though there was somewhat of a language barrier between us, we thank God for Google Translate, which helped us to translate between English and Hebrew, and Hebrew and English. We recounted to Agus the Jewish gospel and how through messianic prophecy foretold and fulfilled, God certified the exact identity of Israel's Messiah to be Yeshua, mean Nazarite, Jesus of Nazareth. We further said to Agus that for her to personally discover this, we wanted to give her a free, complete Hebrew Bible and a specific list of the major messianic prophecies Yeshua alone fulfilled, which Israel has been looking for over a long period of time for one to fulfill, Matthew 11:3. Agus gave a clear indication she indeed wanted the free gift of God's word from us. Now, may she, like John the Baptist and his disciples long ago realized, Jesus is the one who gave sight to the blind, lame, the lame to walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf to hear, the dead raised up, and the gospel is preached. Blessed is the one who does not stumble in unbelief over him. Matthew 11, 4 through 6. So there's August going through the scriptures with her, showing her the image of God in Yeshua HaMashiach in the Tanakh before the Brit Hadashah. So then we went, popped into another shop, and this young lady's name was Edan, E-D-A-N, which translates into English Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Edan likewise was ebullient over the Besorah of Yeshua the Messiah. Besorah, again, is Hebrew word for gospel. The Lord allowed August and I all the time necessary to show this young Israeli how the Jewish scriptures foretold that the Messiah must suffer and die to redeem man from sin, rise from the dead to enter his glory, and return to a regathered and restored Jewish nation to rule and reign over all the earth. Covering scriptures like Isaiah 53, Luke 25, 26, Deuteronomy 31 through 3, the King James Version, by the way. Let me just pause here. In Deuteronomy 31 through 3, God says that he will regather all the outcasts of Israel, and then he will return. Sadly, all the modern translations omit that phrase about the Lord returning after he's regathered Israel. And it's irresponsible. What, even the New King James doesn't have that phrase. Now, why am I harping on this? Well, if you know anything about textual criticism, the first rule of textual criticism is you always go with the oldest reading in the scripture. You always go with the oldest manuscript that's available. Well, did you know in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Deuteronomy 31 through 3, when it has that phrase, after God regathers the outcasts of Israel, he will return, just like it says in the King James Version. It also says that in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And yet the modern translations omit that phrase about God returning after he regathers Israel. But it's there, and I believe that is a genuine reading, because the oldest manuscripts of that verse, the Dead Sea Scrolls, existing 150 years before the birth of Jesus, has that phrase in there. And then we went over scriptures like Revelation 22 through 7. Edan excitedly told us of how glad she was that we came to share with her the good news, and was looking forward to reading and studying the scriptures we gave her, which includes the New Testament. Amen. Later in the afternoon at Tabka. Now, this is a mind blower. Tabka is a Greek word meaning eight springs. And it is the traditional site where the Lord Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes to feed 5,000 men, women and children not included in that count. And it is the only miracle that's found in all four of the Gospels. We focused our witness from the account given in John 6. You'll see why. So we were going to do a teaching there because several years ago, under the leftist censorship of the Biden administration, YouTube was taking off. As you remember, they were taking down videos of myself and August teaching. They suspended my account for a month on Facebook because they didn't like the harsh biblical truths I was teaching. It wasn't politically correct, but it was biblically correct. So we had to go back to TABCA to redo that teaching. Well, little did we know what was going to happen, but the Lord certainly did. Later in the afternoon at TABCA in the Lower Galilee, the traditional site where Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 with multiplied loaves and fishes, John 6, 2 through 13, we park, and this car parks behind us, and this Jewish man by the name of Nathaniel comes up to us like he knew us as friends, and he says, "Hey, tell me, what happened here?" Again, here's that softball being lobbed at us to hit out of the ballpark. Stunned. Yes, we were stunned at his, acting like he knew us. And just that's what he asked us. There was no preface of, "Hello, how are you doing?" He just came up and said, "What happened here?" Stunned at such an obvious gospel witness set up by the sovereign Lord. August and I went into detail from the gospel accounts about the miracle Yeshua did there with the loaves and fishes, adding that much of his miracles and ministry was spent in the Galilee where we were standing. Nathanael took all this in. From that starting point, we showed him how the ministry of Jesus the Messiah has a direct impact on every person for salvation and eternal life with God. And if you want eternal life, we told him, Jesus said, using the miracle of the loaves and fishes, Jesus said he was spiritual bread, that if you eat of him, you have faith in him, you will have eternal life, just as you eat bread to sustain physical life. After our loving persuasion, Nathanael was finally convinced by Ruach HaKodesh to receive a Hebrew Bible and Messianic gospel tracts to help him fully understand the cosmic import of what God in the flesh accomplished in Galilee of northern Israel some 2,000 years ago that has saving repercussions today. Guided by God's word, we gave Nathanael, may he believe, eat by faith in the one who is the bread of life and receive eternal life for those who spiritually eat of him, John 6, 58. Now, there were two other people in the car with Nathanael. They came out. One, this gentleman here was a Christian. I don't know how they met Nathanael. I think they told us they met Nathanael, and he said, "Well, I can show you around if you want." And that's how all this converged on us. But here's the interesting thing about this, folks, and I didn't realize this till I got back to the hotel after this powerful witnessing encounter. In closing, we found it quite amazing that Nathanael told us he was traveling with his Christian friend, Philip. So you have Nathanael and you have Philip here. Nathanael's the Jewish guy we witnessed to. Philip was the Christian friend who was with him. And there was another guy in the driver's seat. He never came out of the car. He just sat in there. But note here, Nathanael and Philip, both are the same names for two of the 12 apostles of Jesus. And Philip brought Nathanael to TABCA, where he learned about Jesus the Messiah in a similar way 2,000 years ago. The apostle Philip brought the apostle Nathanael to Jesus in John 1, 45 through 49. He brought him to TABCA. So Philip brought him to TABCA so that Nathanael could learn about Jesus. Simply amazing, the same pattern playing out here now. And when we got back to the hotel, I didn't put two and two together. And then I realized, wait a minute, that guy's, we witnessed to the Jewish guy was Nathanael, and he was showing, or he was in the car with Philip, and Philip was visiting the sites and wanted to stop at TABCA so Nathanael and his other friend could see it. And there, this Nathanael heard about Jesus at Philip's leading. Same thing in John 1. Philip findeth Nathanael and brings him and says, "Come, we have found the Messiah of Israel." And you know, Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He was hesitant. And I don't have it here in my notes. Nathanael was at first hesitant to accept our gift of the Bible, but he did after we persuaded him to. Why? Life and death hang, his eternal destiny hangs in the balance here. You have to, if you want to live forever, you have to eat of what who Jesus is and what he did to save you. And he did after we persuaded him. Wow. Day 5th of the 60th gospel outreach to Israel was the morning we headed out for Jerusalem. And after day 5, we'll wrap it up and resume next week with day 6 and part 2 of the 60th gospel outreach to Israel presentation. On day 5 of the gospel outreach to Israel, so after we finished our witness with Nathanael, we went into Tabqa. There it is, the feeding of the multitude, and all 4 accounts of this great miracle that Jesus did. Here is the history of churches in Tabqa, going really back to the early 4th century. And they built several churches on top of that Byzantine church that was built, I believe, in the 4th century or 5th century, sorry. The first actual church was in the 5th century AD, built by the Byzantines, and this is built on top. This is, you go into a gift shop here, and we talked to the gift shop employee, and he said that tourism is absolutely dead over there, and Christians need to get over their fear and show their support for Israel and walk by faith and not by fear. And that's all I'll say about that. So after that, we actually visited Endor. That was another YouTube video that YouTube took down 4 or 5 years ago. As you know, Endor was the place where apostate Melech Shaul, King Saul, consulted the witch of Endor. And we didn't have any Bibles with us, but it was strange. This Rastafarian Jewish guy, he had this bright blonde hair and locks. He told us about Endor, and there he said there's an ancient biblical museum over here, and we thought about witnessing to him, and he definitely was a Rastafarian character and a stoner, if you know what I mean. But we didn't have any Bibles at that point, but he was very friendly. And so we did a teaching at Endor about the tragedy of Melech Shaul, learning from him how Christians should have nothing to do with the occult whatsoever in any of its demonic and damnable aspects. Learn from the tragedy of King Saul. So, and we also talked about was that Samuel's disembodied spirit that arose? And I think it was, because it says it was Samuel. If it wasn't Samuel, it would have said a familiar spirit. God allowed that. That was an exceptional one-time case so that God can finally, through the disembodied soul of Saul, give the coup de grace message to Saul, who I believe was not saved, by the way. I don't believe Saul was a genuine believer. So, okay. So day 5 of the gospel outreach to Israel. Today we headed for Jerusalem from the Galilee. Before we left beautiful Tiberias, August Rosado and I minister the hope of the gospel to the desk clerk at the hotel. Now, the owners of the hotel are all Jewish. They know us. They consider us like family. We've given out Bibles almost to everybody there. This guy was new, so guess what? Robert Cucci, he used to go on these outreaches and would facetiously say, another victim. Anyway, this man, his name was very complicated. I didn't get a chance to write it down. The Lord knows who he is. So he was an Arab Muslim, open to hear about the Son of God's descent into a fallen world to save sinners who look to him for salvation. 1 John 4:9. He graciously accepted a Bible and an Arabic gospel tract from us. In the dining hall at breakfast, the Lord had us run into a young Jewish man and his family who were at the hotel for the Shabbat, for Sabbath. Now, a day earlier, August at dusk, went down and did a brief video about the significance of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus' ministry. I went down there and he had me come into the video shot for the last 3 minutes. And he told me, he said, "Hey, before you came down here, this 2-year-old ran by my knees, and the father profusely apologized." And I said, "Oh, no problem." And this, he invited us to go to a Sabbath party where it was loud music and dancing. We didn't go because, you know, we're really not into that. And so the next morning, guess who we run into? This gentleman here. And he was very friendly. And he said, why didn't you come to the Shabbat thing?" I said, "Oh, well, we had some things to do." And then we started talking to him, folks. And you know the rest of the story. You know where this is going. The man's name was Asaph, the same name that penned some of the Psalms. August and I said to him that we come to Israel 2 or 3 times a year, not enough, by the way, to bring the saving gospel of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, back to the land and people it originally came from. Asaph was intrigued as we boldly said, the prophets of the Tanakh foretold God would bring back the Jewish people in the last days prior to the return of the Messiah. The modern rebirth of Israel is the undeniable fulfillment of this. And we said to Asaph, "That is what we're witnessing now. You're coming back to this land, being reborn as a Jewish nation, as you once were in ancient times, proves the God of the Bible exists, proves that God keeps his promises no matter the long passage of time." That means nothing with God. Men thinks it does, but it doesn't. That's why, and I'm getting on an aside here. That's why when you hear people, "Well, Jesus hadn't been around for 2,000 years. What makes you think he's coming back?" Ah, because you judge from a finite mortal perspective. With God, 2,000 years is a mere 2 days. God's promises are made from his eternal perspective. They play out and are fulfilled in the course of time. So having said that, we told Asaph the reason for this miraculous regathering of your people back to the land God gave you for an everlasting possession is so that the chosen people can right now hear the gospel of Messiah and be back in the promised land for his return there at the second coming. Isaiah 11:11-12, Jeremiah 3:10, Zechariah 12:10, and Zechariah 14:4. Asaph took this all in and had no problem hearing the gospel and the biblical evidence proving Yeshua is the Messiah. Reinforcing his assent, Asaph welcomed our giving him the New Testament Hebrew Bible along with Messianic literature to help him piece it all together for him to believe for salvation in Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God. I don't know if you can get all that writing there. I said, "Asaph, it was wonderful meeting you. As you read God's complete word, may you encounter the saving love and power of," and we didn't have the rest of it, "the power of Yeshua the Messiah taught in August." So now he is set up to investigate this and then let Ruach HaKodesh convince, and convert him to salvation so that he can become a completed Jew born anew. Amen. So we left there, and once again, August and I revisited. This is one of our favorite sites we like to go to. We revisited the likely site where John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. It is called today Kasar El Yahud, which means the castle of the Jews. Last December, if you remember, we ministered and gave a Bible to Ido, who was working there. He was there this time, and we talked to him again about our gospel witness to him in December. His female co-worker, Riser, was there too. We told her the reason we come to Israel is to teach God's word, to let the Jewish nation know that the God of Israel offers eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah to those who believe in him. John 20:31. Riser responded by saying in Hebrew, Nechon, Nechon, which translated into English means correct, correct. She had made Aliyah. She told us that she had made Aliyah to Israel from Argentina when she was 15. August and I said that her return with millions of other Jews to the Promised Land is a major fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the last days, setting up for the return of Yeshua the Messiah there. Jeremiah 16:14-15. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Amos 9:11-15. And Romans 11:26-27. Razor heard this with open ears and heart and received the entire Hebrew Bible from us with Messianic study booklets proving Jesus is the Messiah, King of Israel, who the greatest prophet of the Old Testament era, John the Baptist, prepared the way for Israel to believe in Jesus for salvation at the first coming. Matthew 3:1. Matthew 10:10-11. This ministry, Berit Chadasha ministry, to the Jew first, outreaches together as one ministry. This ministry endeavors to do the same for the second coming. I don't apologize for saying that. That's not being a megalomaniac. God does great things through humble means. God performs, does big things through, accomplishes big things through medium of obscurity and anonymity. This ministry is an end-time ministry with prophetic overtones. In the sense, it's prophetic in the sense that we are now going to a restored and regathered Israel so that they can hear the gospel, put their trust in Yeshua, and if perchance save themselves from experiencing Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. Yes, they're still Jewish, but Jews who get saved in the present age also are members of the church. So this is breaking up the fallow ground, folks, that will lead us into the tribulation period after the rapture of the church. Who knows if the rapture happens in our lifetime? These Bibles that we've been giving out, and now they've numbered over 2,000 in the last 25 years, that could be the catalyst. When the rapture happens, they might go, some these Israelis might go to those. I remember these two gave me a Bible. Let me go and see if this is what's happening. And so you never know. You never know how this will specifically play out in the end. But it definitely is help fulfilling prophecy, because Jewish evangelism is now occurring in the land of Israel among the Jewish people, largely for the first time in 2,000 years. And there are very few ministries that do what we're doing over there. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've yet to see other people doing what we're doing over there. 25 years in Israel, at 2 weeks at a time, over 63 visits. Don't tell me, well, you're just not seeing them because you're not there long enough. Poppycock. It's not being done, by and large, by the church. They're neglecting Jewish evangelism in Israel. And the best way you can show your support and love for the lost, starting with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, is giving them a gospel presentation, giving them a complete Hebrew Bible so that they can check these things out for themselves, be Berean Christians, and see that, yes, indeed, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms foretold all the things concerning Messiah, who is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, risen, ascended to heaven, and soon to return to complete his promises, to fulfill them, and the covenants he made with his ethnic people. And we are preparers of that way for his return. Amen? And I say that without apology, because that's what's going on here. And so, folks, we thank you again for your prayers and your financial support. And this is the end product of your financial support. This is the end product of your prayers, so that you can see Israelis beaming when they hear how much the God of Israel loves them, that he sent his one and only son to die for them on the tree, that they may have eternal life in him, that they may fulfill, by doing that, fulfill God's calling for every Jewish person to receive and accept the hope of Israel in the person and work of Jesus the Messiah. And that's true of the Gentile world as well, because we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, starting to the Jew first, Romans 1:16. Well, we look forward to seeing you next Friday, Lord willing, for part two of our presentation, where we will cover our gospel ministry in Yerushalayim, the city of the great king, Matthew 5:35, and in Haifa. And we will be back also on the air on Thursday to resume our teaching on Christianity contra the cults. Look for that. And until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.